This is Jen Ware and Ashley Hall. We're going to dive in and talk about feeders for a little bit here and some of the additional learning processes that kind of undergird those feeders.
So the feeders include peer feedback, drafting, and revision times.
Some of these are built into the class period so that we can focus on composing and the technical aspects together. As students progress from one feeder to the next, they must transfer the rhetorical knowledge and technical skills to complete each subsequent feeder. So they're building upon those experiences in those smaller scale assignments.
And by scaffolding technical precision and its assessment in the feeders, everybody's on the same page and we can focus our attention strategically on what students need more practice with.
So let's talk about the assignment for a little bit. It was inspired by an RSA Summer Institute, Digital Rhetoric Behind and Beyond the Screen. And there, Steph Sarasso, Jim Brown, and Casey Boyle had us do an assignment on location where we were asked to transduce the space of the Herman Wells Library on the campus of Indiana University.
And then we used the GeoTourist app to publish our soundscapes. I thought that was really interesting, and it pushed me as a participant in the workshop beyond what I had done with soundscape composing, either on my own or in terms of designing assignments. So I was inspired by that and wanted to keep working with that idea. And I came across this article in the BBC about this mysterious numbers station, and I thought, okay, that'll be an interesting project for the students.
So the assignment asked students to transduce this space of this mysterious numbers station. And the station just broadcasts this incessant droning sound. And that's the catalyst for the assignment. And the students have to create a narrative around that drone sound stopping and then restarting.
And to get the students there to the point where they can actually write a narrative, put together and make choices about the sounds that are going to be arranged in their soundscape and then edit it all together, we go through these feeder assignments.
And they haven't done a series of assignments like this before.
Right. So for a lot of the students, especially the English students, and this is usually a cross-listed class that has both English students and communication students in it, and that's a nice dynamic. But for the English students in particular, they have very little exposure to composing with technology, composing sound, composing visually, but they might have more experience doing creative writing.
And the communication students generally know the concepts of composing media for different platforms, but they're kind of out of their comfort zone when it comes to the creative writing aspect. Something that's not more of a formal reporting type of media at this point. This is one of the reasons why I enjoy teaching the class, because of the different experiences that the majors have and bring into the course. It allows everyone to bring in their strengths and learn something new at the same time, and that structure of feeders works well here, I think.
So the feeders help everyone really get on the same page and also ramp up their technical knowledge along with their conceptual knowledge. We start out with a feeder where students are given 10 or so loops, and really, their job is just to explore and be creative and find out what the possibilities are.
And the loops don't have to be even in the software. Sometimes we provide them with sets of Creative Commons materials and audio loops. Depending upon the audio editing software that's available, this is another way to provide that creative experience.
And while they're doing that, and they're trying to come up with something different, they're learning the basic interface, they're learning how to put loops on the timeline, they're learning how to duplicate loops, cut loops, and make fades. This prepares them for the second feeder, which is really a technical challenge where everyone's asked to produce the same outcome. So they have to go find key loops, arrange the loops in a particular way that are defined, and they have to draw from what they've learned in the first feeder and apply it to the second feeder.
I think this certainly helps in terms of drafting a project, outlining the transcript, and then using that dialogue and the sounds to really follow that as they move into production and help them see what's working well or make adjustments.
From that point, they're ready to take on more challenges, and the environment can become less controlled. So now they're ready to do things like record a human voice, and sometimes that takes the form of a script that they write and then record. Sometimes it's going out and doing an interview. But they've ramped up, and they're ready to take on those challenges, and they're able to be strategic in how they're going to use that audio in conjunction with the loops and sound effects that they're going to be working with when they come back.
And I think what we're talking about here a little bit is the creativity within the constraints of the assignment, and that being a really big part of this. The creative fiction aspect here opens up another way to listen and understand the way that sounds can set a scene and create a mood. Thank you everybody for hanging out with us and hearing a little bit about our experiences with the feeders in this project. I'm Jen Ware.
And I'm Ashley Hall.